Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations episode 223, where we talk all things comics for the week of December 26, 2018. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
We don't have a lot of things comics to talk about.
No, we don't.
No. Slow week. Christmas. Well,
then also, I bribed you in not making me read Sandman.
It's a horrible mistake looking back on it.
Well, we found some stuff to read.
Yeah, but Sandman's better than everything we read by a lot. So I would have liked
even
to read
by Fantastic Four?
Yeah, it's so much better. Like, Fantastic Four is the best thing we read this week, but Sandman is so much better.
So,
in that way, it was disappointing, but I've already read it, so it's okay.
Boom.
Christmas is over, though. That's sad. Because I find that around Christmas, everybody's a lot happier.
I'm not.
More pleasant.
I'm typically not happy about Christmas.
Well, that's because you're in your 30s and single.
No, that's not it. It's just I don't like the formality.
Depressed people are always more depressed.
I'm not depressed. I just don't like the formality. Like, I would just like to opt out.
Of Christmas?
Yes.
Why
I would
do
like,
you hate the baby?
I would like to celebrate the birth of our Savior and then just continue living my day like it was a normal day.
You celebrate the birth of the Savior, and then no, because you have to keep going, and then you have to give presents.
In fact, I could argue that most of what's built around the holiday has its roots in paganism, and if anything, I'm doing a disservice to our Lord.
The day itself has its roots in paganism.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th. However, since we're there, and it's been a part of the culture for so long, I did watch Die Hard this year. Lauren didn't watch it.
As did I, which is a holiday classic, apparently.
It is, in fact, a Christmas movie. And I think it's accepted that way since the internet.
And thank God.
Well, people have the argument. They're like, well, is it really a Christmas movie, or is it just a movie that happens to take place during Christmas? And I'm like, really? Really? If they called it Die Hard Christmas, would that make it more of a Christmas movie?
That's what they should do to bridge the gap, just to shut the naysayers up. Just have a holiday special. And it's just like Bruce Willis's character, John McClane, and he's just there telling yarns
like
by fireside.
In front of a fire.
Speaking of that, I don't know what network it was. I have to check on it later. But one of the networks decided to have Reginald Johnson do like a little ditty. Like, they were showing it on cable, but they had him hosting it.
They should.
And I had to look this up because I thought he was dead. I mistook him for Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil from
Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince?
Yes. And
Fresh
Ninja Trolls
fan. It's comedy specials. I told you I was rewatching The Office, and I think I watched like 8 Christmas episodes. So, The Office, oddly, a lot of their Christmas episodes are two-parters.
Mm.
So, technically, I think I watched 16 Christmas episodes.
What were the terrorists in Die Hard?
German? Or was that Die Hard 2? Die Hard 2 was Hans Gruber, right? It was
I don't remember, dude.
Alan Rickman. And the first one was
Yeah, Hans Gruber was the first one.
Hans Gruber was the first one, but Alan Rickman was the bad guy in the second one,
yeah.
Right?
No, he was the bad guy in the first one.
Was he in the first
one? Yeah. I
Who
just
was
saw
in the second one.
I don't know. I never seen anything past the first one.
I'm looking the second one's good. It's not as good as the first one. I'm looking this up real quick.
Okay. By all means.
Yeah, Rickman was the bad guy in the first one.
But I'm saying, was that like a big thing in 1988? Like, were people worried about German terrorists, or were they such a group of people that you couldn't offend in 1988 that you could just have them be the terrorists?
Well, it wasn't that they were afraid of Germans. It was just he was a terrorist who was a German.
Because the headquarters was a Japanese-owned company, so at least that was of its time. But I don't get the terrorists.
It doesn't matter. He was just a terrorist, and he happened to be German. And he wasn't really German.
What do you mean he wasn't really German? The actor wasn't German? Yeah, of course not.
English.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be. And his character was. Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber was in fact German.
If it sounds like we're killing time, it's because we got like five books to talk this week.
Books, and two of them are of the same thing.
Yes.
So they just kind of read as one.
And even though we have news, it's not like it's a hefty haul.
No, we picked a news story because we needed a news segment. Because
Alex wanted the segment. That's what we've done it before in the past, but this is just glaring. It's just like, yeah.
I don't like skipping segments, especially when the show's going
to
be short.
I think when we have the segment to have the segment, it undermines the credibility of the segment.
No, so it's still news. It's not like, I don't think it's good news. Let's go into news.
All right. Let's go in. I'm just stalling so I can find the music. In our first segment this week, news. Alex, you know what to do?
I don't have a lot to say about the Thermals.
Oh, okay.
They came out in the early 2000s, and they were one of the where it's like, oh, this is kind of catchy. And they didn't really get a following, and now they seem to have developed somewhat of a following, but nobody listens to their old stuff, so I found something off their first album. And I actually don't know a lot about them because I forgot they existed. For a while, because I can't keep track of all these indie bands.
Well, now that you're a married man with child.
Well, yeah, but now, this week, I had a hard time picking, because I had to drive around a lot for Christmas. So I was playing a lot of my music, and I'm like, I was thinking, like, what can I pick for the show? And, I don't know, that song probably came on.
One of these days, I'm going to man up and pick a song.
Yeah, I just prepare ahead and just pick songs every week. Because you always say you're going to do it and you never do.
Because I puss out. I'm like, I don't know if Alex is going to like my music and I don't want
I probably won't, but it doesn't really matter. Like I don't always pick stuff based on you liking it.
Yeah, but you know I'm nicer than you. And I'll just be like, "Oh yeah, that's a good song." When nothing you pick is offensively bad, so I just don't care one way or another.
Well, my thing is I didn't write it. Like I didn't write any of these songs. If you don't like it, it's fine.
Hey, if you want to justify this segment this week, have we done November Sales yet?
What was number one?
Uncanny X-Men number one?
No.
So that was the number one book. I have no idea why that was number one. Other than here's the thing.
Number one.
No. So that was the number one book. Guess what was number two?
I don't know.
Green Lantern.
That was also a number one.
I don't understand how Green Lantern with Grant Morrison, number one, lost out to Uncanny X-Men with some no-name writer.
Because they've been pushing an Uncanny X-Men relaunch for like 6 months, whereas DC were pushing a Green Lantern relaunch for 3 weeks. Before it came out.
Oh, but folks know it was coming for a while. I still don't get it. Is it just because of the Green Lantern character? It can't be Morrison, because Morrison's still a big deal. So I don't understand why it was.
What do you mean that it was not number one?
Yeah, it should have been number one.
X-Men are bigger than Green Lantern. Always have been. Always will be.
They haven't been for a while. And it wasn't like it was a slim margin. You have Uncanny X-Men at 176,000 and Green Lantern at 113,000.
X-Men were selling more than the Green Lantern books for even now when they're down. They were selling more.
And then if you want some more perplexing stuff, number three is Web of Venom Carnage Born number one.
I'm not surprised Venom's hot right now.
Yeah, but a Carnage?
Carnage is in it.
And then
it's still Venom.
At number four, we have Amazing Spider-Man number 10. Number 5 and 6, Batman 58, 59. Number 7, Amazing Spider-Man, number 9. Number 8, Heroes in Crisis. Number 9, Avengers issue 10. And around at the top 10, we have Venom issue 8.
Marvel did good. It's all Spider-Man and Venom related.
Yeah, exactly. They're somewhat back on the board.
Sales is sales, brother.
Exactly. Something I found really, a good sign. Now, what would you expect Fantastic Four to be after the first couple of issues? Like, just considering where that book's sort of homeostasis is at after, you know, a couple of issues.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's at number 12.
That's good. It is a very well done book.
Third issue, number 12 at 72,000 copies.
I bet this month's issue does pretty well.
It might be the number one book
storyline they completed.
I can't keep a track of what else that came out this week, but I would not be surprised if that was the number one book.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Nothing came out. So
let's see if there's any other notables in this. That Marvel Knights 20th anniversary did pretty well. Number 20. Number 21, I'm sorry.
Oh, did it?
Firefly.
I didn't care a lot for that.
And right behind it was Firefly number 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
And I'm sort of disappointed that Aquaman Justice League Drowned Earth was all the way at 26, just underneath 50,000.
Well, DC fans are not hugely into events because they've been without them so long. And they were just, like, telling stories, so I think it's kind of hard to... And also, it's Aquaman. Is that movie out yet?
Yeah, it came out this weekend.
Do you know how it's doing?
It did fairly well. I have no context on what...
Because I want Jason Momoa to have a success, because I like him.
Yeah,
I've seen, like, one movie he was in, and I didn't like it.
Are you talking Justice League?
He's very likable outside of things he's in.
Other notables, Dead Man Logan all the way at number 29.
Aquaman has made $600 million.
I have no context for that figure. Is that a lot? Is that good?
$600 million in 2 weeks.
Is that good? Is that bad?
It's good. Here, let me look something up to give.
At number 45 is Ironheart.
What?
A little over 40,000 units.
Oh, on trades? I don't care.
No, I mean on monthlies.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It debuted at 45.
Okay, so Wonder Woman in its entire run made $821 million, and that was the most successful DC movie. Aquaman has $600 million in its second week. So, yes, it did very good. All right, by the way, we're talking about this. I told Tony, I finally saw a trailer for Captain Marvel.
Oh?
And I'm like, you know this is going to make more money than Wonder Woman, right? And he's like, well, I never said it wouldn't make money.
Yeah, I'm on the record for saying it's going to be bad.
I don't think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be good. They don't really make bad. Like, Thor 2 was apparently bad, but I didn't watch it. But they don't really make bad.
Iron Man 2 and 3 were really bad.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Fox made, a different company made those. I mean, Disney. They don't.
Iron Man?
They haven't made bad. I didn't think Iron Man 2 was bad.
3 then?
I didn't think 3 was bad. I thought the Mandarin thing was convoluted, but I didn't think it was bad. It made money too. Like, people liked it.
I don't know about that, dude.
Star Wars people didn't like, but that was...
People always do this with the Marvel movies when they come out. It seems like everybody has this collective, it reminds me of like Star Wars Episode 1. Where it came out and everybody who was like in this lull of like, oh yeah, that was good, I guess. And then
trash Episode 1.
And then after a while, people, like maybe a month so, people were quick to trash it. I feel like that's all the Marvel movies are.
Because
everybody said Age of Ultron was great, and then a couple months later, everybody was like, yeah, it kind of sucked.
Age of Ultron didn't suck, but it was too long, and they played him up too much for comedy. but it did not suck. Infinity War was much better. That was the best Avengers movie, I thought.
Mm.
I thought that was really good. But, no, I bet it'll be good. Trailers are awesome.
Okay, I'm looking at trades, and, you know, nothing really stands out until I get to number four. Black Eyed Peas presents Master Sun Zombies Chronicles.
And it sold, what, like 20,000 copies?
A little under 3,500 copies.
How much?
3,500.
Yeah, it's not even worth talking about.
Well, these are trade paperbacks, so. I just want to see what this is. The Black Eyed Peas made a comic?
The Black Eyed Peas put their name on a comic, and then they fought zombies, because it's like, we have no ideas what to do here. Are zombies still popular? I don't know, maybe. Let's do it.
Ooh, and Will.i.am apparently wrote it.
Will.i.am wrote it?
Oh, okay, they must have done the Marvel method thing, because there's two writers attached to it.
Okay, one of the books we read today had three writers. I think it was X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were reading it because I'm like, oh, I like Dead Man Logan. And then he was one of three writers. And I'm like,
Bane Switch?
Tricky. He wasn't even the first name listed. He was the third name. And I'm like, so what did he write in this? Like, this book didn't require three writers. That's weird. What was our other news story?
From the pages of Darth Vader number 5.
Oh, we know who Darth Vader's dad is.
It's Palpatine.
It's Emperor Palpatine. That adds nothing to the story and debatably takes away from the story.
I thought it was cool because his idea was to trick the Jedi into recruiting him, thinking he would be the one that bring balance to the Force.
He was a real dick to his son then.
Well, yeah.
Because like he was going to replace his son with his grandson.
They are the Sith. That's the way the way they act.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, you cut out for a sec.
I'm sorry. Well, that's what Sith are known to do, dude.
Well, I know they like turn on each other, but like your own kid, like come on. And then he turned on Palpatine anyway, which he was supposed to do. Vader was a bitch. Like, if you read about what the Sith were, the fact that Vader just stood there for, like, 30 years and did nothing, like, he was a failure. Unless you take into consideration the whole
secret
apprentice thing from the games.
Well, he wasn't really a failure in the sense that he did what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to be the poison pill for the Jedi. In other words, they brought him in thinking he was going to be the one that brought balance to the Force, and really he was basically their undoing.
Well, yeah, but the whole gimmick of the Sith is there's two of them, and the apprentice is supposed to kill the master, and then have his own apprentice, and then it continues. And like,
yeah, but if you're a Sith Lord and you have an apprentice, don't you want a weak apprentice?
Yes, because you probably don't want to die, but. You know, I just always thought it was a little weird. Did you ever play those games?
Which ones? There's a bunch of Star Wars games. In fact, there's probably hundreds of Star Wars games.
The ones about Vader's secret apprentice?
No. The Star Wars Killer. Force Unleashed?
Yeah, there were two of them. I only played the first one, but I'm playing this game, and it's like, not only did that guy end up basically starting the rebellion, but he also could, like, use the Force to bring down Star Destroyers.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, why was he more of a badass than everybody combined?
You know,
like,
why?
The history of Star Wars.
The real reason why is because he's not really a canonical character and they can do whatever they want.
Was. They said it was in canon.
Okay, but they don't have to acknowledge his presence in the movies.
Right, and they don't have to acknowledge that Palpatine is Vader's dad because it'll add nothing to the stories.
Yeah, I mean, but they have these comics and they need to sell some paper.
So if they say, like, oh, we say who Vader's dad is.
Well, remember, it was the pages of Star Wars. Oh, Han's first wife or blah, blah, blah. And it was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, we read that.
And then
but
the movies.
Wasn't a real marriage.
Yeah, and then the movies completely no-sold it.
Why would they add it? I don't know. I still haven't watched Solo, which was apparently good. And I'm
that's not what I hear from everybody else.
Oh, everything I heard was
it killed the spinoff franchise.
it didn't make money, but it was apparently a good film.
Okay.
And that was the thing. There are lots of good movies that don't make money.
Although, was it really that good if nobody else wanted to see it?
Yeah, it could be.
I question how good this movie is. Have you seen it?
I don't know what to tell you. I just heard it. No, I said that. I'm supposed to watch it because people said it was... What's it called? I'll look it up on... It had a 70% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. That's probably better than Last Jedi.
Star Wars is a Solo Story, I believe it was called.
Yeah, it had a 70% positive, and... Okay, never mind. Last Jedi had 91%, but people hated that. So...
I like Last Jedi, though.
See, I don't understand people. It's also Star Wars fans, and, like, I don't believe... Normal people told me the Han Solo movie was good. Not Star Wars fans, who I don't trust.
Yeah, as you probably shouldn't. Yeah, I'm wondering how much longer the Star Wars comic books go on for, because... Like, is anyone going to figure out that any of these stories mean anything?
I don't really have feelings on it.
I know. I'm just wondering, like, how long can they keep this thing on?
Well, they can keep it going. And by the way, it didn't kill off the Star Wars spinoffs because they're doing another one. It's about Boba Fett or something.
Isn't that a TV show?
Oh, I don't know. It's a spinoff, though, right?
Yeah, but it's not. I don't think it's a major motion picture anymore.
Well, I don't know if it ever was. I just know it's coming out. And besides, didn't they say the bigger problem with the Solo thing was when it came out and how soon it came out?
I think it was a bunch of things. The casting, I heard, was pretty bad. Nobody liked the guy who they got to play Solo.
They were going to do them, like, every other year or whatever, and then they're like, okay, we got this fucking Star Wars movie come out, and then 3 months later, here's another Star Wars movie, and they're like, fuck, we ain't ready for this.
Well, hey, doesn't stop the Marvel movies. They do 2 or 3 a year. Nobody cares.
The Marvel movies are also different from each other, though. Star Wars is Star Wars.
I think the Han Solo movie was different than most of the Star Wars movies, dude.
Because he was younger, but it was still fucking flying around in spaceships and shit. Like, Ant-Man isn't really like Doctor Strange, which isn't like... I don't even fucking
know. What was the name of that one Star Wars movie where they're getting the Death Star plans? Like, that movie was significantly darker than your average Star Wars.
I fucking hated it. I absolutely hated that movie. Every actor in that was terrible. Everyone. No one had any chemistry. I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking, like, if there were screen wipes, I would have thought George Lucas did it because it was so badly directed. Just no chemistry between the male and female lead. Horrible acting. The lines were bad. Like, it was so weird.
I'm glad they got
rid of stepping back in time in the series.
I'm glad they got rid of that line, that cringy line from the trailer. I'm a rebel. I rebel. Like, I'm glad someone put their foot down that line, because, wow.
You know what I would have done if I had the movie over the trailer? I would have had fucking, like Billy Idol rebel yell.
That would
or David Bowie. Rebel.
They could do worse. They really could do a lot worse than what we got in that final product.
Best thing in that movie was the robot, right?
Yeah, that's what everybody liked.
Everybody liked the robot.
People
spit off with him.
People liked the Asian guy, too.
Oh, the blind guy?
Yeah.
The blind guy who could fight really good, but he wasn't a Jedi, but he used the Force.
Yeah, and then they never did anything with that. It's like, oh, what's this thing that you established? It's like, well, he's not a Sith and he's not a Jedi, but he still has access to the Force. Ooh, dude, that's interesting.
He might be one of the gray Jedi from fucking Knights of the Old Republic. What's up?
I barely remember anything about that game other than the twist ending.
Fucking games are great.
Yeah, the first one was really great. The second one was...
The second one was good if you download the PC version that the fans fixed. They added in, like, the 3/4 of the game that had been cut out, and they made it run good.
It's not a good game if the fans have to fix it.
No, it's not. They did apologize for how fucking broken it was, but EA was rushing them to put it out by Christmas. So they had to cut half the game out, but the files are still in, so the fans found it all, and they put it back in.
Just like Simon's Quest isn't a good game, even though you play the fixed version?
If you buy it on Steam, I believe it comes with the fan patch. Like, that's official now.
Mm.
So, yeah, those games fucking ruled. They should make movies about those games.
They should.
Darth Revan is the shit.
He is.
He has a cool mask.
Did you do both endings or did you do one ending?
I did good guy ending.
Pussy.
I can't play games as a bad guy. I've never played Mass Effect as a bad guy.
You know what the thing about?
I did for a bit.
You know, I did it as the bad ending, but the thing is, you have to go so far out of your way to be a Sith in that game. Like, you actively have to be killing, you know, children and just doing underhanded, corrupted things and lying to people. It's like, you have to do so much to be a Sith.
In the Knights of the Old Republic MMO, it was really easy. Because if you were going to be a Jedi, I think you had to pick Jedi or Sith at the beginning. So you didn't have to do anything. But you could be a slightly less bad Sith. But the thing was, the Sith had like, because it was like, you know, back in the day when there was a Sith Empire, so like they had the coolest cities and stuff. And they had cooler ships. And they could shoot lightning. So that, like, there was really no reason not to pick them.
Yeah, Force Choke, Force Lightning. It's like, why would you ever choose to be a Jedi?
Well, the Jedi could do... I think they could do Force Choke. Because they can move shit around with their minds, so they could choke somebody. They just can't shoot lightning.
Could you get a purple lightsaber?
You get any color lightsaber, because you made your own lightsabers. You got the little crystals. And
yeah, I remember that.
You'd make them, or you could make the double-bladed lightsaber, which I still don't understand how somebody would use without killing themselves.
The Force.
The Force helps them.
Hey, you never saw that one Clerks episode? It's like, so why is there sound in space? The Force. That's your answer to everything!
My favorite in Knights of the Old Republic is how, like, they would just come up with new powers for the Jedi. It's like, she's very important because she has battle meditation. What's that? When we're having a space fight, she's doing Jedi shit, and it makes our guys fly better. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's what Obi-Wan did with Luke, where he's like, use the Force, and then he closes his eyes and he makes the shot.
Yeah, he turns off the targeting computer.
Yeah, which I don't know why that would help. Like, why would?
Well, because remember, they first did a run, and the guy used the targeting computer, and it didn't go in the exhaust.
Dude, he used by Buzz Womp Rats in his... Have we talked enough about Star Wars?
Yes, we have. Didn't you want to talk about the Uncanny X-Men, or have we talked enough news this week?
What were we going to talk about?
Uncanny X-Men? Were going to talk about the ending, or at least not this issue, but the original X-Men returning back to their original timeline.
Oh, yeah. They were doing that storyline with Ahab or whatever that we read one issue of and thought it was lame. So we stopped reading it, which I don't regret reading this news. But so they did the storyline and the young X-Men had to go back to their time to save the world. And then at the end of the story, Cyclops is back. And he's in his astonishing X-Men costume. So it must be a Cyclops from another time period.
Someone explained that was another mutant, the one that died a Cyclops. It was some shape-changing one called Morpho.
Well, they haven't said that yet. Or the one who died?
Yeah.
Okay, so Cyclops is... But wait, why would they have to bring a Cyclops with an old costume back?
I don't know.
Did he tie him up for like 10
years? Maybe if you had read your news story, we'd have a little bit more information.
They just said that he was back. And, like, the last page of the comic was young Cable, kid Cable, I guess we're calling it. Talking. By the way, we had Cable in two books, two different versions of Cable.
I thought adult Cable was dead.
Adult Cable's dead, but X-Man is Cable from Age of Apocalypse.
Ah. Got it.
And he was in a book. So Lauren is very upset. She's watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
The new one on Netflix or the original?
The new one.
Oh, okay.
I was watching some of it.
My poor sister, she watched it on Netflix thinking it was like the old one. She's like, oh no, this is nothing like the original.
The one I was disappointed with, I'm like, she's like, oh, there's Salem. And I'm like, he doesn't talk anymore, but they can talk to him. She's like, yeah, they don't talk. And I'm
boo.
Huh? Yeah. Does he talk with a voice? Yeah, he meows and one of the characters can understand him.
Boo.
It's not the same.
Tell her I'm
Salem
booing.
Was the best thing
Tell her I'm booing it.
It's from what I read, because I read a couple issues of the new Sabrina comic, and it's more serious. It's very similar to that. It's got the show has a weird vibe to it from what I've seen, because it's like it's kind of funny at parts, but it's also ridiculously dark. So it's weird, like it's different from other shows. Could you hear her?
Just barely.
Okay, well, she was just explaining the things she finds annoying, which is pretty much that it's a show about a teenager.
Yeah, I'm going to run this through a level later. I don't know how much of the folks are actually going to hear, though.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
Either way.
All right.
The show gets a mild thumbs diagonal from what I've seen.
She's not too keen on giving it the full thumbs up?
Well, she's still watching it. Like, I'm saying me. Yeah, she likes it, but she's annoyed by parts of it.
Okay. All right, that's going to do it for the news portion of the show. Let's move on to our next segment, this week's books. Under that Mother 3 well again?
I'm probably going to pick a lot of songs.
Just the whole soundtrack?
Really good soundtrack.
Yeah, I prefer Mother 1 soundtrack. What can I say?
You don't like develop music?
You're talking about music that's on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, it sounds better than a Nintendo.
And also, if you really, really, really want to go there, I can play something from the CD soundtrack.
The CD soundtrack of Mother?
Yeah. We've been over this. When the game came out in Japan on the Famicom, they released a real music album.
It doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
It's not real video game music.
But it's music.
Because, like...
You're ripping on the NES. Meanwhile...
No, I'm not.
The first game soundtrack...
The Game Boy Advance has better songs.
Than real music?
No, than the music that's in the game.
But I'm talking about the soundtrack that coincided with the release of the game.
Well, I don't know. Was there a Mother 3 soundtrack that was released?
I don't think so.
Should have been.
Yeah,
the game was fucking great. It's way better than Mother.
It wasn't Mother 1 a guaranteed masterpiece. No crying until the end.
It was better in every way. Mother 1 had crying like in the first 20 minutes.
That's
Killed
true.
The fucking kid's mom.
Yeah. Hey, you know what happened when the kid's mom died?
He met the Magypsies.
But you know what Porky did? He made kids cry, bro.
He did. He did make kids cry, bro.
Should we explain that reference, or are we just going to let it fly over people's heads?
It's, okay, so WrestleMania 9, there was a Crush Doink match. And the reason Crush and Kona Crush, by the way, not DOA Crush, the reason they were feuding was because Doink was a clown, but he made kids cry.
Bruh.
And that's what Crush said. You make kids cry, brah. This was before Crush got arrested for steroids and guns.
Before the hard times.
And then he came back and he was in the fucking Nation of Domination too, wasn't he?
No, he was in DOA.
Are you sure he wasn't in the Nation? Because the Nation had some white guys.
I don't remember them having any white guys.
And then he went, yeah, Owen Hart was in that shit, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Owen was in the Nation of Domination. Let me look this.
That was later, but when they first started it, it was supposed to be like a black group, and they had the rappers, but they didn't want it to, like, you know, they wanted to be able to say, no, it's not a black group.
Yeah, because there's that one gif of that white kid doing the salute.
Yeah. We are the nation. Ooh, domination.
You've seen that gif, right?
Yes. Well, they did have the Farouk talking to McMahon. When was the last time a black man got a world title shot, Mr. McMahon?
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it right here. And in fact, this Nation of Domination I'm looking at right now, it has Farouk, the manager, and then just a bunch of white guys.
Yeah, because they wanted to hide it.
Yeah, but at the end, by the Attitude Era, they dropped the facade.
Yeah, well, that whole Gang Wars thing didn't really work out for WWF.
No, but
it was a bunch of fucking jobbers. It's like, yeah, we're going to have the Nation of Domination and the DOA and Los Boricuas, the Puerto Rican gang.
The Nation of Domination could have worked.
Like, you know what they should have done?
Had that been the only faction, it might have worked.
Well, they wanted other factions for them to fight. What they should have done was had the Nation of Domination and the Boricuas, Los Boricuas, they should have had them do a dance battle. Like West Side Story?
Yes.
Just, didn't they do that years later for like a Mania thing?
For Rumble.
Yeah, where everybody danced.
They did the, no, not, they didn't dance. They did the confrontation like a musical.
Oh, was Savio Vega there?
No, sadly no.
Damn.
But they did the gimmick where everybody's wearing the wig. But of course, Ray doesn't take his mask off, so he had the wig on top of his mask.
That's awesome.
It was great. All right, let's go into this week's books, which include Fantastic Four number 5, X-Force number 1, Superior Spider-Man number 1, Uncanny X-Men number 7, and from last week and from beyond, Firefly 1 and 2.
From beyond.
Well, it came out, issue 2 came out last week, and I believe issue 1 came out the month before.
Which we were gonna read, and then we didn't.
Yeah, we couldn't find it, so we just decided to skip over it, but because we had such a light week, I found Firefly, so it's, I'm like, hey, let's read issue 1 and 2 while we're at it.
Well done.
Alright, we went over this, we're gonna put off Fantastic Four until the end, and since Firefly didn't come out this week, we have our choices between X-Force number 1, Superior Spider-Man, and Uncanny X-Men. Since we have the two X-Men books, let's open up with Superior Spider-Man number 1. Writer Chris Stonecage, art by Matthew Hawthorne. Or Mike Hawthorne, I'm sorry.
So, Otto has a new body again.
Oh, let me start off the review by saying the write-up for this was 100% wrong. Not only was this not a Spider-Geddon tie-in,
but it did reference things that happened in Spider-Geddon, though.
Did it? I thought we were making reference to stuff that happened in the first Spider-Verse.
No, because it had in Spider-Geddon number 4.
Okay, well, it wasn't a tie-in, though. And this wasn't a one-off either.
No, but Spider-Geddon ended last month.
So. That show,
it
that show
tied in that I think it may be during Spider-Geddon is when he got his new body. I don't know.
No, he's had the body for a while. Remember, he had the body after clone conspiracy.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a professor now at Horizon University in San Francisco, so it's like a gay college, I guess. And they.
It's not a gay college, guys.
Why'd you have to laugh? It would have been funnier if you didn't laugh.
No.
Yeah, so he's working at this college, and of course Anna Maria works there too, his midget, little person, ex-girlfriend. And he's, what is it, something Tolliver?
Yeah, it was a weird, wacky name.
Tolliver Edwardson? I don't remember his name.
Definitely not Otto Octavius. That should be his name.
No, it is not Otto Octavius. And he talked about how now that he's got this new body, he's not crazy anymore. Because the reason he was crazy when he was Dr. Octopus was, or the reason he was evil, was because he had his brain was rewired when he got his octopus arms. And that was fixed now. Although Anna Maria told us that was bullshit and he was just evil. And the reason he's good now is because he was influenced by having Peter Parker in his head. So he disagrees with that.
I genuinely believe he's going to be a good guy in this.
He's working with a group of villains who I guess he's hired. They didn't really explain that, called the Night Shift, who are just the jobberest of jobbers.
Stiltman.
No, he's fighting Stiltman.
Oh, okay.
Stiltman does not work for him. He fought Stiltman in the first pages, and you know, Stiltman's like, "Oh, you could have killed me," and he's like, "No, I wouldn't kill you." And then he started like, "You know, if I would have killed him, this would have been a lot quicker." But no, I won't do that because I'm a hero, and had that whole thing. So they show him giving speeches to his school, which is a school for geniuses to change the world. And he'll probably create his own villain in there, if I had to take a guess.
It'd be fitting.
Yeah, it would. Has a talk with Anna Maria because she very quickly figures out he's Otto. And she's really mad at him, and she's going to call the cops on him. But first she calls out a robot.
Oh, Living Brain.
Yeah, she calls him out because she's got him, who tells him if he will use physical force to arrest him if he has to, but if he surrenders, he'll give him a tasty beverage, which I thought was cute. That made me laugh. so stupid.
Well, that was his gimmick in the slot run of Spider-Man, where he'd always be offering people a tasty beverage.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know because I never read it. Mm. Yeah, so they had that, but then there was danger afoot. So she told him he could go and try to help because he's Spider-Man, and there aren't a lot of heroes in San Francisco. Punisher was there for a while. No, he was in L.A.
Yeah, why do they always try to get the West Coast over? It never works.
Well, because they don't want, yeah, and they sent Ben Reilly to Vegas. Well, because there's already two Spider-Men in New York, and they don't want.
I know, but you can't send them anywhere else. Like that might.
The Midwest? Like where else would you send him?
I don't know. Hong Kong.
He can go protect Chicago. Well, actually, Chicago could use it, right?
Yeah, exactly. He'd be perfect there.
And there are tall buildings there too. Yeah, I don't know why Spider-Man wouldn't.
Because the
Chicago
thing is, the West Coast has a history of just being a place where comic books go to die. Well, because the West Coast Avengers were never over.
That was created.
That they never got over, and even now in their current book, I'm sure they're not over.
Well, I don't know how popular the West Coast Avengers were ever supposed to be.
I would like for them to be cute and be like, oh, that's where that other superhero, that's where that other those other superheroes are based out of. Because DC recently relocated to Burbank on the West Coast.
So they refer to DC.
Yes.
No, because they're all in their own cities. That was the big difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel uses real cities.
No, but I'm
DC
saying
just make cities.
They could that wink and nod the idea that DC is relocated to Burbank,
they
California.
Could, but like, do you get anything out of doing that?
If I recall, Dan Slott recently did a storyline Fantastic Four where he made reference to the ripoff Fantastic Four in DC. So you can't say they can't do stuff that's too inside.
Yeah, but I think we disagreed on what they were actually doing. Well, either way, Spider-Man then goes off to save the day. And they remind you that even though he's talking about being a good guy, he's still kind of a douche. Because he's Otto. And he went off. I didn't dislike this. It's just, like, I don't read Spider-Man anymore. Like, I didn't finish this and say, like, oh, I gotta keep reading this.
I read this and liked
it. It wasn't bad.
I read this and liked it because I was in a good mood because I'd read Fantastic Four first.
I don't think it was badly written.
No, it was well written. It's just my thing is, I could see this being a mini. I just don't think this is going to have legs as a continuing series.
Oh, I don't either.
Pun not intended.
It's very, like, stock. Like, this is a new. This is the first issue of a superhero comic.
Like I think Marvel is misinterpreting people's love of Superior Spider-Man. People love that run, But people don't necessarily want it back.
Like, want it back?
Yeah, it's like people like that time, that storyline. But, like, nobody's begging for it back.
Somebody might be. I don't know, though.
Even I, who was a giant homer for Otto as Spider-Man, it's been so many years, and I'm so over it now.
Well, maybe they thought it was time to bring it back.
Well, let's see how long this book sticks around, because I'm of the opinion it's not long for this world, and I prefer it just be a mini as opposed to watching it die.
Spider-Man means it will get probably at least, what, like 12 issues?
Yeah.
That's something.
Okay. All right, we got two X books, Uncanny X-Men and Uncanny X-Force. Where do you want to go from here, or just X-Force?
Let's do Uncanny X-Men.
Okay, because
this is like part eight of a
of the two, this was the weaker, but with that said, this was actually good. We only read this because there was such a slim pickings, and I even asked Alex, like, why are we reading Uncanny X-Men of all books?
We actually read it because I remembered after. I'm like, oh, because X-Men's in it. And I've always liked it. When I say I always liked X-Men, I liked X-Men when Warren Ellis wrote it and nobody was reading it. Like, that was the time I wrote it, when he was like the shaman of the earth. Mm-hmm. I really liked that run. So I keep reading it thinking it's going to be good again. And it's never that good. But because of that run, I like the character. So the storyline apparently is X-Men is dying. And he was on Earth, and he was trying to, because he's like Omega-level mutant. So he was, by the way, X-Man is Cable. If Cable didn't have the techno-organic virus, that's why he looks like that. And he was raised in Age of Apocalypse by Mr. Sinister to kill Apocalypse.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, Mr. Sinister was horribly evil, but, like, he didn't want to, like, he didn't want to be under Apocalypse, so that was his
character. Oh, let me get the creative out of the way. Ed Bryson and art by Pere Perez.
That's not entirely true, because it had three writers.
Yeah, I know, but I'm looking at this at Comic List, and that's what they're giving me.
Yeah, they lied. But, you know, whatever. No, X-Force had three writers. I'm sorry, it wasn't this book.
Yeah.
So they somehow got thrown into the Age of Apocalypse.
Because they were trying to stop X-Men, and they realized they were never going to do that in 616, so they sent him to the Age of Apocalypse, the only place they could send him where he wouldn't have his powers.
But some of the mutant kids went too. But they got transformed into what their Age of Apocalypse forms would be. So, like, Glob apparently has superpowers now and can light himself on fire. Rockslide is
well, you can always do that.
Well, Rockslide is pretty much the same, but he also is on fire.
Mm.
Apparently, the new thing in X-Men is you give people new powers, and it all involves – they're still the same, but they can do fire shit.
Yeah, because that's what they did in Wolverine. He's like hot claws.
Yeah, he's got hot claws. So these guys all have fire shit, except Pixie, which should not be her name anymore, because now she looks like Demon Girl.
I think that's just because they're Age of Apocalypse, though.
Well, yeah, but it would be – it should still just be them looking like they would look when they're older.
Can I say this? I often hate when they focus on these X-Men, but Bryson is such a great writer. He got me to not only care about these characters, but I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't mind a mainline X-Men book with none of the mainstays.
I actually think I might try to read the next issue of this.
Yeah, same here, because I'm like, it's so refreshing to read X-Men without all the standbys. It's like, I don't need to read a book with Wolverine and Cyclops and Colossus again.
Yeah, they
I kind of would like a new cast.
These were all the newer characters. And Armor was about to kill, because I guess two of the kids, they were having a fight over whether or not they should kill him. Because if they went back, they wouldn't be able to kill him. And some of them were like, well, now that he's seen this place again where he was all traumatized, maybe he won't, you know, destroy the world. They kept using the phrase destroy the world. He didn't think he was going to destroy the world, but he was going to, like, re-alter everyone's minds. So there was, like, world peace and everyone would be nice to each other. But the X-Men are against this. Apparently, so the Okay, don't make a political statement.
So, you have to coach yourself.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't be the first time, right? You made a political statement.
What I was actually thinking is, so our progressive friends would actually be hugely in favor of what X-Man was doing in reordering everyone's brains so they don't think anything offensive.
Boom.
Boom. But, yeah. So, they were... Oh, sorry. My cat's... Lauren's pet my cat, and he's mugging for...
See, whatever
progressive... My cat's fucking loves Lauren and hates me. He's actually pretty nice.
Because you speak... To equally represent our audience, because you speak ill of progressives, so the cats don't like you.
I always speak ill. I'm okay with liberals. I just don't like progressives. It's very simple. Because they can't think. So it's, you know, it's all right. Whatever.
Alex doesn't necessarily speak on my behalf, by the way.
Not every... Dude, I could say some stuff, but I won't. Yeah, so they're trying to stop X-Man from turning the world into progressive heaven. That's a lot.
Stop!
I was joking with most of them.
Yeah. But,
Vote McCarthy, 2020. Only president who openly did coke.
Didn't Obama do coke?
I don't know, probably, but he didn't brag about it.
Well, but he didn't try to hide it either.
Bush didn't really try to hide it. He just never commented on it.
He wasn't proud of it.
Well, that's because he loved Jesus or whatever.
Well, also because times have changed as well.
Yeah, in the 80s, that shit was cool. Everybody was doing it.
No, but this is a really good book. I love the way everybody's written this. And
I liked it too. Oh, and at the end, Armor had apparently had her mind changed and was going to kill X-Men.
Yeah, but you know it's a bait and switch. You know as soon as we get into issue 8, she's going to be like, just kidding, wink.
I wouldn't be shocked if they killed him because they just killed old Cable to introduce young Cable. Do we need two young Cables?
Yeah, but the thing is...
Like, they are very different characters.
Isn't that the X-Men MO, though, that they don't kill?
Fuck no! Did you not read...
That was one story.
X-Force book?
That's X-Force, dude.
Well, still, they're under the banner.
And they only killed that one X-Men that
Wolverine
one time.
Wolverine was an X-Man.
Yeah, okay, but it's one of those things where he didn't... He killed a bunch of people and then became an X-Men.
He still killed people.
Did he?
You ever read these fucking comics where Wolverines run around just slicing people?
I'm under the impression that he never kills them, though.
X-23?
Was that before or after she was an X-Man?
No, they still kill people in their books. They slice them up if they're bad people.
Hmm. I was under the impression the X-Men don't kill.
And Wolverine's gone off and done shit with Punisher. That's modern day.
I just like in that all these X-Men runs, they all have the underlying current of everybody likes Glob Urban. Like, oh. It doesn't matter how many creatives bounce between all these X titles. Everyone always puts over Glob.
Glob's cool. I wish they'd bring Dupe back.
Yeah, Dupe, and then, of course, my boy, Quentin Quire.
Long shot.
Long,
My boy.
Think you're on your own on that one, dude.
Hey, long shot. Long shot's on your team. You'll always win because you'll be lucky.
It's true.
But, you know, I'm kind of a happy guy. Wouldn't I like long shot? I'll be like long shot, where I'm really lucky as long as I keep a positive outlook on life. This is the best power ever. If he gets depressed, he loses his powers.
Although you're at the flip side, I could argue you're a joyless cynic like Quire at times.
I am a little bit of a cynic, but I'm happy about my own shit.
So you could argue you're less like a long shot.
I guess I'm not as happy as long shot.
And I am a lovable goof like Glob, and I will take that to the bank.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's talk about X-Force now.
X-Force number 1 by the same writer, Ed Ryson, art by Dylan Burton.
So the X-Force are a much harder edged team of X-Men, and the team is hilarious. It's Domino, Boom Boom, who didn't appear in this issue, but did appear in a great backup.
I didn't read the backup, by the way.
Oh, you should have. It was funny. So Domino, Boom Boom, Warpath, Deathlock, who is not a mutant.
Deathlock, who, you know, Deathlock has been in a lot of books, and more often than not, he does nothing for me. The way Bryson writes them in this is amazing.
Well, wait, I'll explain what okay. you're talking about. So, Cannonball? Did I get them all? And I think Young Cable is going to be
on. I don't remember Cannonball being in this.
Cannonball was on it. He was there.
Okay.
It's just the way it was drawn, you didn't really... Because they wore the different costumes and his hair is longer now.
True.
So, Cannonball, the most powerful one on the team, obviously. Because he's nigh indestructible while blasting.
Doesn't make much sense to me, but whatever, I'll take it.
So they, so they're going to this, they're actually tracking Young Cable. Because they heard he was selling weapons to this small, you know, one of these Marvel countries where they just randomly come up with new countries. That is being sold weapons that we later find out are from Cable's time period.
Yeah, they were alluding that somebody helped them. Like, they were just go ahead.
They were a small, shitty third world country.
And then overnight, they become like a state
military
with a
powerhouse.
Yeah, a state with a giant military industrial complex.
But the gimmick was whoever gave them the weapons told them you have to open up your borders to mutants. Like, you have to be like a mutant safe haven. And then we'll give you these guns. So they were like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then, but the problem was the leader of the military there, he was using the guns to murder all the mutants.
Ace, by the way, do you want to speculate who that was that gave him all the weapons?
Not yet, because I don't know.
Because I was... Yet. Because I thought they were going to do the reveal, and I was fully expecting it to be Magneto.
No, because it would have to be somebody from the future.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know who it is yet. But yeah, so X-Force is fighting their way through. They're actually looking for Young Cable. Cable is rescuing Deathlock, who got taken apart, and because he was taken apart, now Deathlock is a also from the future. He's a what do you call the part? A cyborg?
Yes.
Okay. So he's a cyborg from the future who is robot parts, but he was made from the corpse of a serial killer. So when he doesn't have his, I think he called it his inhibitor on, which he didn't. Because he was in pieces, the serial killer part of him came out, and he couldn't keep it in check. So he's like screaming, like, "I'll cut your fucking face off! Rawr!
I'll skin you alive!
I'll skin you alive!"
See,
turn around. He's on Young Cable's back, and he's telling, "Turn around so I can kill some people." It's pretty awesome.
See, the way I was written this for me is that. The Deathlock is the cybernetic part, and he's just wearing this flesh body?
Well, the actual character is the cyborg thing. It's yeah, not it's, the serial killer part doesn't really come out.
Yeah, because it's sort of like a reverse cyborg, because usually you'll have it be a person with missing components, and they'll just have the cybernetic parts to make up for it. Whereas this feels like it's the other way around. It's like a genuine robot with a corpse grafted onto it. Yeah.
It's kind of like RoboCop.
That's nothing like RoboCop.
Yeah, it is, because RoboCop was basically dead. And then
But he was still Murphy.
Well, he started to become Murphy again, because he remembered.
This is like a robot wearing a person. There we go. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, that's what RoboCop was.
That's not what RoboCop was.
I bet they did a Deathlock RoboCop crossover.
They should.
Well, they shouldn't now. RoboCop isn't really a thing anymore.
Well, they rebooted him, but nobody likes it. Actually, aren't they making a new RoboCop movie based on the original continuity?
That sounds like a mistake. Like, when you say the original continuity, do we, like, ignore RoboCop 2 and 3?
People should. Like 2.
No, they don't.
I like not. It's not a good movie. I will agree with you that
Frank
it's not,
Miller wrote it.
No. He wrote a draft and they didn't use it.
Oh, I thought they did.
No, in fact, that's why they had that comic that we read the first issue of, because he wrote a draft of it. They didn't like it, so they went in a completely different direction.
It wasn't very good, but it did have the really funny part in the movie where they were debuting all the new versions of RoboCop, and the one comes out and it flips up its mask and it's like a skull and it just screams and then blows up. But the first movie was much better.
Oh yeah. The first is a classic.
Incredible.
Everybody loves it.
Incredible satire. While they're fighting and they meet up with young Cable and Deathlok and they're going to get out with them. The leader of this nation's military shoots the president of the country in the head and then's like, oh, some crazy mutants broke in and killed the president. I'm declaring martial law until we can exterminate the mutant threat. So that's bad. And then the issue would have ended, but we had a backup which showed where Boom Boom was, because Boom Boom is on the team, but she wasn't in the issue. And the reason why is, she slept through her alarm.
Was that it? That's all. That's that was the entire backup.
The alarm, and then, but she did get a text of where they originally were. Yeah, she slept through the alarm, but they were in a hurry, so they didn't wait for her. So she rushed to like one of their safe houses, and there were like knocked out terrorists in there, and she's like trying to find out where they went, and you know the terrorists are like they hate. They're from this country, so they hate mutants, and they want to kill them all. So he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything. And she accidentally blew up the entire warehouse. And then, like, the issue ended. It was like a comedy.
I would love it if that was the recurring gimmick of Boom Boom.
She's never actually on the team because she keeps sleeping through her alarm.
Yes. But they keep doing the gimmick where she's on the cover with the team.
Well, the cover for the next one has everybody in the same costume, including young Cable, who they were calling Kid Cable because they didn't know what to call him.
They should just call him Cable because they killed off the original.
Well, I think Cable wasn't technically dead yet. So, because it was Cannonball who mentioned it. He's like, she's like, did you just call him Kid Cable? And he's like, well, we have to differentiate between the normal Cable, who Domino is really good friends with. So he's like, we have to differentiate between this Cable and the older Cable. So he's Kid Cable. And I don't know if they're going to keep calling him that. It's a pretty bad name.
Well, but I was in the impression they were killing off Cable for good.
I don't know, probably. Maybe. It's a time travel gimmick, though.
Okay.
So.
All right, in our final of this week's books, Fantastic Four, number 5, Red Dan Slott. And they have Aaron Cooter as the artist.
There were multiple stories in this, but they were that it told the story of them getting ready for the wedding and then the wedding, but they had different artists.
Like on the flashback, that was clearly all Red's art.
Well, yeah, it said like when they started a new story bit, they'd say who was doing the art.
I almost wish this entire issue would have been done with all Red art. In fact. In all the Marvel books this week, they mentioned the passing of Stan Lee. And just, I don't know, for old time's sake, I wish the Fantastic Four book would just be all Red art.
No, because I think the current artist, since it's such a big issue, he should be allowed to draw large parts of this. Like, you let all Red draw it because he did do Fantastic Four. And his art...
Well, he did FF.
Yeah, and his art fits the time period that they're showing in the flashback. So, like, I get that, but still, the actual wedding itself and the lead up should be done by the regular artist because it's his book now. Like, I think that's just the respectful way of going about things. So the core of the book was like they had Ben's bachelor party, which fucking was hilarious. They had showing how Sue sort of influenced the relationship over the years.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, just things like that. But the undercurrent through the whole thing was Reed is his best man, and Reed is doing nothing to help out. Like, he didn't plan the bachelor party and just told Johnny to handle it. Ben was having some sort of emergency. He wouldn't help him with it. Now, what he was actually doing comes into play in the end. For the bachelor party, there was this reoccurring joke of, like, Spider-Man showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. Ben's like, no, you can't come to the wedding.
No capes.
Like, why not? He goes, no capes. He's like, when there are capes, there's shenanigans. And I won't have any shenanigans at my wedding. And he's like, okay, well, he's like, but you come to the bachelor party. He's like, all right. So they're at the bachelor party, and they go to a wrestling show at the Garden. And Ben's old wrestling promotion is there, so they convince him to come back in the ring for another match. That is canon, by the way. He was a wrestling champ.
Yeah, but that's it's not according to kayfabe.
Well, I just can't believe that that somebody else got to run the Garden.
The Garden?
The Garden.
Well, in Marvel 616, I believe Ring WWE is not a thing.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, Ring of Honor, New Japan, the UWF or whatever this was called, UWC, UWF was an actual thing.
Yeah.
So probably not that. Hey, all these people running the Garden, Vince is going to be pissed. By the way, side note, there was a story in, I think it was Web of Spider-Man, about Spider-Man during his wrestling years, and Raven wrote it. He wrote that issue.
Ooh, I gotta read that now.
Yeah, it's probably not good. I don't remember.
But he's a big comic book fan, isn't he?
Oh.
Remember back in the day when
he used to wear a Sandman.
Yeah, he used to wear a Sandman shirt. Like,
I think that's because he had the grunge, like, I'm depressed gimmick.
Yeah, but why would you wear the Sandman shirt unless...
Because look at Morpheus. He's all white face, wearing black all the time.
Who but a comic book reader would have known about Morpheus?
I don't know. People back in the day, like in college and stuff, they used to rock the death honk.
I don't know, dude.
Or wearing the death shirts.
I don't know if your average person would have worn a Morpheo Sandman shirt.
My sister was in college at the time, and okay, they in fact did.
Okay, never mind. Maybe you could. I'm wrong.
It had some pop culture significance at the time with certain groups. But yeah, so they had the bachelor party, and they did the wrestling thing, and they played poker, and then they had a big cake, and the Serpent Society?
Yeah, it was the Serpent Society, but they were all female.
Jumped out of it because Johnny, he's like, well, when I hired them, they weren't wearing the costumes. And the substory of this was Johnny was like really depressed because like Ben was getting married, and at one point there was like Alicia was there and Medusa.
No, because they were getting ready for the Bachelor and the Bachelorette party, but they met beforehand. Yeah. And who was at the Bachelorette party but all of Johnny's exes?
Yeah, he's like married a Skrull version of her. Dated her. And he's like, it's like I'm looking at a history of my failed relationship. And then he's like hitting on like everyone, even the Serpent Society girls. And he was really down about it, but he ends up sitting on a corner with Ben. And, you know, Ben gives him the, you know, when it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. Like the encouraging older brother note. And there was also a story in there of a Ben was trying to practice dancing. So he went to a dance studio, but all the women who worked there, they were like on crutches and shit because he stepped on their feet. But Sue came, and you know, she could put the shields on her feet. So she was able to practice dancing with them. And this was almost a Sue story because it showed the lead up to them flying off into space.
Well, you always have the undercurrent. Obviously, they didn't. It wasn't as obvious, but you still got the undercurrent of like maybe something might have happened between Ben and Sue had things gone normal. Like just
well, Ben never would have. He was too loyal to Reed.
But they've always played with that though.
Yeah, but they're more like a brother-sister thing. But,
and let me ask you this.
Because what they were showing you was, like, Ben was like a beefy, good-looking guy before he got turned into a monster. But the core of the story was Reed is like, we have to go into space tomorrow. And Ben's like, no, they got those cosmic rays up there. It's not safe. And everybody else was like, oh, come on, we got to go. And then Sue, to get him to go, is like, oh, Ben, I didn't think you were a coward. And he's like, a coward? What? So he had to go at that point. And the basics of the story where she feels bad, because if she hadn't, she said she thinks about it all the time. If I hadn't said that, we wouldn't have gone up that day, and this never would have happened. And the shittiest part about it is he's the only one who didn't want to go. And he's also the only one who got turned into a fucking monster. Because everybody else can turn their powers off. He can't. He's mm-hmm. always a rock monster. And she kind of blames herself for it. Because she's the one who goaded him into going. Because they couldn't have gone without him. He was the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to go. Which I don't... Is that a part of the story? Or is
I don't remember that being part of the story, because that's what they had in this issue, where they had to sneak onto the launch pad and sneak onto the rocket. And by the way, how were there no legal consequences for them not only just sneaking onto a launch pad, but commandeering a rocket?
I think they were more focused on the fact that they fucking had superpowers when they got back.
That's true. So, and by the way, were you reading Marvel and Fantastic Four when they did that Alicia and Johnny Storm marriage?
I remember reading a comic that had Lyra or whatever the fuck her name was in it. But no, I was not reading.
Okay, it's like how do they?
I saw it in another comic.
Yeah, that's just weird. Like, how did they square that away? Like, I obviously because it was a Skrull. But before they did the reveal, it's like. So Johnny's going to marry Ben's ex? That's kind of awkward.
Well, she wasn't a bad Skrull. I don't know. They did bring that up in this issue.
Oh, yeah. Ben's all like, I don't want to talk about it.
I didn't want to talk about this. they finally get around to the wedding, and Aunt Petunia's there.
Yeah, I was under the impression that it was just something he said, but at some point when they're getting ready for the marriage and they're getting, you know, all the fly-ins, and sure enough, his Aunt Petunia shows up.
Yeah, Aunt Petunia is actually there. I don't know if we've ever seen her before. She's like an old lady.
Yeah, she's just an old Jewish lady.
Yeah, they flew in the rabbi and Aunt
Petunia. My booby.
And his uncle, and they go, and they're getting married, and then Dr. Doom appears.
Oh,
this guy!
Oh, and what's his name? What's his name? The son. God, what's his name?
Oh, Franklin. Yeah,
Franklin dyes his hair
visible through most of the issue because he did something with his hair, and then they finally saw it, and he dyed his hair like black, and then put like a blue streak in it.
And like everybody, like this is the first I heard of it, and it's like it. It's one of those things, it sticks out like a sore thumb, not because of the color, it's just, like, that would have been, like, a thing to do, like, in the 90s or early 2000s. It looks so out of place in 2018.
He was just going for something different.
Yeah.
Which, and, you know, he said, he's like, well, come on, everybody on this, there's too many fucking blondes on this team.
Well, that's how Sue sort of just, you know, oh, boys, people, boys, you know, there's, you know, because they wanted to make nice for the wedding, they didn't want to make a lot of drama, so they're like, well
She told him she was going to keep him invisible until he...
Oh, no, it was Johnny who justified it.
Well...
He said, well, there's too many blondes in this family anyway.
Well, so they... Doom appears in the sky saying that Galactus is attacking, but don't worry, Doom's going to stop him. And he's in Latveria, so nobody come to Latveria. Ben's like, we got to stop the wedding so I can do this. And Alicia's very understanding. She's like, listen, I get how it is. You're in Fantastic Four. I'm part of the family. Blah, blah. And Reed's like, no. Because the reason I wasn't around is I was working on this, and he's got a thing that'll freeze time in a bubble for 4 minutes so they can finish the wedding. And he does. so they finish the wedding, and then they immediately go off to Latveria to help Doom with Galactus, and that's what the next issue is going to be. So
this was
very
such
a successful issue. It did a lot.
This is a really sweet story. I mean, I almost felt like the shenanigans really did sort of bog this book down, because you could have just made this book, you know, them recapping Alicia's and Ben's relationship over the years, them ultimately getting married, and then having the happy ending. It's like, you didn't need all the superhero shenanigans in this stuff. I'm nitpicking here because I absolutely love it, and I'm going to put this book over as amazing, but really I felt like all the superhero shenanigans stuff kind of took away from the core story here.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that was the whole gimmick of what Reed was trying to do. He knew just being a superhero, you're always going to deal with the shenanigans. And Reed knew it meant a lot to Ben to have just a regular wedding, so that's why he made that time bubble.
Oh, and by the way, when Doom appeared, Ben just started screaming, shenanigans! Awesome.
Well, because it's like, okay, you had all the shenanigans leading up to the marriage, and it was kind of fun and entertaining and wacky, but then you have this touching moment where they're actually getting married and they're exchanging vows, and all of a sudden Doom shows up in the night sky or the day sky. And by the way, no explanation of why Doom is back into his old gear.
It was probably explained in other books that we didn't read.
Mm.
We'll find something out in the next issue.
Hopefully. But yeah. Really good book. Dan Slott, more than anybody, I guess the only person I can think of is maybe a Mark Waid is really great at telling all these really cute stories.
Yeah. So. Kurt Busiek can do it, too.
That's true, too, but he doesn't write for Marvel anymore.
No.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's talk books that came out a bit a while ago. Firefly number 1 and 2, writer Greg Peck, art by Dan McCaid.
So, this is kind of a bait and switch.
How so?
First of all, I hate the art in this book.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're always going to have that when you're dealing with a smaller publisher like Boom Studios. Know,
so the spaceship stuff looks really good, but the artist, what is the artist's name? Do you have it?
Dan McDade.
Okay, well, Dan
McDade,
you need some work on your proportions of bodies. There were some very Rob Liefeld moments in this book where, like, in particular, Mal, who is a normal-sized man, but in portions of this book, his body size would change just vastly panel to panel. And there was one panel in particular, it's probably like the fifth page of the first book, where he's on Serenity. And he's standing there, and he's got this giant fucking upper body, and his head is the same size. He's got a tiny little head. And then in the very next panel, he has a normal size body and a normal size head. And this kept happening in the book. It was so fucking distracting. The story itself, I mean, they were true to all the characters, but this was sold as it's going to tell the story of the Unification War, which was the big war that preceded the show. And it did not tell that story. What it was there's this group of they're hunting the Alliance is people they named as war criminals. And Mal and Zoe would be two of these war criminals. And we don't know what exactly they did to say that, but the Alliance aren't to be trusted anyway. But he keeps having these flashbacks to this horrible battle, but we're 2 issues into it, and they have not told the story of the war and are apparently never going to.
Yeah, I didn't know that was supposed to be the hook of this series, but I did.
That was why I picked it.
Oh, okay. Because that's why I kept thinking, well, I thought you read it for Greg Pak, and then the fact that it was Firefly. But, I always think that. I'm like, are they ever going to show what happens, or is the gimmick of we never know what happens? So it could be like a MacGuffin. It's like, oh, something that happened during the war. And then something, yeah, they could just mine that forever for stories.
They might tell us a story from the war, but they're not telling us the story of the war, which is what I want to read. because I think that would be a really interesting story. And maybe teach us how Mal Reynolds became the greatest libertarian character on TV ever.
You were telling me Joss Whedon didn't know about this?
Completely unaware.
Yeah, because and the thing is, it's called the Unification War, I presume. What was that? The Alliance was trying to bring every system under their jurisdiction?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this. And, like, why? How could Joss Whedon not know that he's a libertarian? And I figured it out. So his thinking would be, the problem isn't with the government. It is with that government.
Mm.
And if we had a better government, then Mal would fall in line and follow him and love him. He doesn't write him that way. He writes him as a guy who's like, you know, all about freedom. I don't want the government fucking with me. And if they don't fuck with me and my stuff, I won't fuck with them. That's how he writes him. But given his own political views, he's probably just thinking, well, they're only against him because they're an unjust government, not because they're a government. If a better government told him how to live, he'd be okay with it. He never wrote the character like that.
Well, I was always under the impression that I don't know where they were from. Did they ever explain what planet they were? I mean, obviously they talk about Serenity Valley, but I don't know where that was
like the final battle.
Yeah, but I'm saying what system were they that were coming under the rule of the
Browncoats? The Browncoats lived in like the planets on the outskirts that weren't technically under the control of the Alliance, but the Alliance considered every planet with humans living on it to be under their control.
Okay, I'm just like of the opinion that they...
Because remember, in the Firefly-like universe, there are no aliens. There are only humans.
There weren't aliens in that Serenity movie? Stars,
but there aren't any aliens.
I seem to remember there being aliens in that Serenity movie. I could be wrong.
No, there were no aliens.
Oh, okay.
There were the Reavers.
Well, but
they weren't aliens.
Yeah, and as we established in that movie, that they were created by the government.
Yeah,
did they explain why they made the Reavers?
Yes, in the movie, it was an accident. They had like something that would make soldiers fight better, or something, but instead it just made people crazy, and they tested it on this planet or something. I don't quite remember. I haven't seen Serenity in a while, but it was the government's fault.
There's so much to this. I'm sure if we start peeking and poking at this continuity, we'd have so many questions. Because, like, why was River Tam such a big deal to them when they controlled everything already?
Because she was, like, a super soldier who could, like, sort of read the future.
But if you had absolute power, why would you care about one psychic girl?
Because you don't want the bad guys to have the psychic girl.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? They have star systems, and they're worried about one little girl.
Did you watch fucking Serenity?
I did.
You definitely didn't want her against you. She killed like 1,000 people.
Yeah, but you have presumably trillions if you're talking all these planets. What do you care about one girl?
Let's say a rebel group gets a hold of this girl who basically has superpowers.
And the thing is, Mal and the rest of the Browncoats, they didn't want to topple the Alliance. They just wanted
to be left alone.
They wanted to be left. So they at no point were they ever a threat to the Alliance. It's just they wanted to be left alone.
But as they never came out and said it, but as a fascist government, you rule based on fear. So you would hold up these enemies of the state that we never captured. And, you know, look, they're still terrorists. They're doing these horrible things, and we have to get them so that you can make the people trust you again, that there are still threats out there.
I guess. I don't know. We
never went into this, but, I mean, from a storytelling perspective, it works.
What did you think of this book, or these books, I should say?
I liked that. I felt all the characters were written correctly, and I like that. I was a little disappointed that it's not what it said it was.
Yeah, I wanted this book to be one or two things. I either wanted A, like you mentioned earlier in all the solicitations, them actually showing the unification more, or I would like this to be a continuation after Serenity.
Yeah, and it's neither. It takes place during the course of Firefly.
Yeah, because Wash and Book are still alive.
Yeah. they're still alive. And you still got Book with his mysterious bullshit.
Like you think,
oh, you're a shepherd? Oh yeah, fucking war. Like,
well, you think a whole point of a comic book is this, to flesh all these stories out, and they're choosing not to.
Well, I read the backup, which I think it was written by the editor who picked Pack to write it, or maybe Pack wrote it. I don't remember who wrote the backup. No, it was Pack, and he's like. He basically said, like, after she told me about it, I was like, well, I've seen Serenity and I liked it, but I never got around to watching the TV show.
Idiot.
And then a while after watching Serenity, he watched the whole show in like a day, which wouldn't take long because it was like 10 episodes.
You know, our Dave.
Can I just say how sad I am that how Fox completely fucked that show and it was great?
You know what the worst part about all that is? With all these streaming services, nobody can bring this show back.
Nobody picked it up.
Like, how many shows have gotten a second life because of Netflix or Amazon or some other streaming service? And this show with its following hasn't been able to. I think the problem would be the cast.
Well, a lot of them are doing other stuff now.
Yeah, see, that would be the number one problem. Although, if you do the Unification War, you don't necessarily need all the original cast, because you could just say, oh, they're younger.
It's not the same.
Because you could just say, oh, they're younger, and so that's why we cast new people.
Those actors or those characters, or, like it's Arthur recast.
Or if you, I'm sure Whedon maybe necessarily wants to move on and do other projects. You could.
Maybe, but I don't think that he couldn't have been done. I mean, unless he said, well, Serenity was done, because, I mean, when you got to the end of Serenity, like, the Alliance was pretty much fucked. So, the big overarching story, like, he ended it.
What I was getting at is, like, I wonder if you could tell a story within this universe still, with a different cast.
Probably, but I don't know if it would be the same, because I think people like the character.
But the thing is, I'm sure people are so starved for anything Firefly.
Maybe.
You could do a spin-off series.
You could also ignore that the movie ever happened and just continue from where the show left off.
Or, no, you could do, Josh just explains, look, this is my original vision for the show. The show ends with Serenity. This happens after the show ended, but before Serenity.
Well, but the other problem, I mean, Mal is the entire show, and I believe he has a show on, like, NBC or something right now. So I'm not.
And I feel like you could do a character with, you could do a story with other characters in this universe, but you can recast Mal. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah. And he's older now, too, because it's been, like, 15 years. So that would be kind of a problem also.
But
I don't know.
But it is odd. You know. You're considering all these shows are getting second lives on all these streaming services, and somehow, like, I understand not bringing Firefly. What's that?
I mean, there's a big difference between doing another season of Arrested Development and doing another season of fucking sci-fi show where we have to animate fucking spaceships and shit.
Is it really that expensive?
Do big action scenes.
The action scenes really that big?
Well, it costs a lot more money to do things blowing up and guys shooting guns than it does people standing in a house talking.
And also, I'm of the opinion that, okay, I can understand maybe there's not a big enough following to bring this back to traditional television. That I can understand. Maybe that, you know, in the grand scheme of...
Why doesn't Netflix do it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why doesn't Netflix do it?
Or fucking Amazon... Amazon just bought fucking Lord of the Rings show. You know how much money that's going to cost?
And at no point none of these services thought to do Firefly.
Maybe it wasn't up for offer. Maybe Fox still owns it. That could be another thing. Like, they might own the show.
But Fox wouldn't own it anymore.
Would they not?
Remember Disney bought out Fox?
They bought out their movies.
And I thought they bought their television as well.
No.
They bought everything. They bought everything.
They weren't allowed to buy the TV? The network.
Oh.
Because they own ABC. And they can't own two networks.
Because of this stupid country.
Yeah, they just bought the movie studio, I believe. And not even the whole one.
See, I was the only person they bought their entertainment wing, with the exception of, like, Fox News and Fox Sports.
I believe just their movie. They definitely didn't buy the TV stuff.
Okay. Oh, so are we going to continue reading this or not?
Yeah, sure.
I'm fine doing either, to be honest.
I really like the show, so I'm okay with it.
I'm surprised our buddy Dave hasn't seen this.
Was he a big fan of the show?
No, he hasn't seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's such a homer for sci-fi. He's watching that stupid Amazon series Expanse, but he's not going to watch Firefly.
It's depressing to watch. Like, I guess it's if you watch Serenity after it, it's not as bad. Because, like I said, that does give it an ending. And then the only thing you're sad about is, well, I wish they didn't have to do this fucking movie and kill everyone.
They didn't kill everyone. They killed two characters.
They killed two characters. It's a small cast. They killed two characters and they ended the main villain before they ever really did anything with them.
Mm.
Like, I get it. I'm not complaining about it. It worked and, like, it was a satisfying conclusion. But it's just, you know, if the show would have got 8 fucking seasons and then they did a movie, I probably would have liked it more.
This is bugging me. I feel like somebody else died in Serenity. Because I know Wash and I know Book died.
I think that was it. Because Kaylee ended up fucking the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Jane didn't die.
I guess that's
Zoe lived, because it was sadder that Wash died, because she lived. Mal lived. River lived.
All right.
That was the whole cat.
No, you're right. All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move into our final segment, next week's books. Step up, breathe. All right, Alex, let's pick out next week's books. You know why?
Why?
Because that's all what we do.
That's what I do. I got a lot left in the tank.
We're going to look up next week's books because we got a lot more left in that tank.
I today got bored and I watched all the new WWE shows on the network. I watched Fashion Files, which it had its moments. Fandango is very good as like a comedy character.
Mm.
And I watched the Cooking Challenge show, which these wrestlers cannot cook whatsoever. Curtis Axel won, by the way, the Cooking Challenge. Dana Brooke is my favorite, who they had to throw darts at balloons like a carnival game.
Mm-hmm.
To pick their protein, and they all got Italian sausage somehow. And they go to Dana Brooke, and she's like, I have never heard of Italian sausage. I don't know what it is. And it's like, where the fuck? You're from America. Like, how do you not know what Italian sausage is?
Well, you have to keep in mind, I presume she's done bodybuilding her entire life, so.
Well, she at least figured out, like, I'll make fucking pasta with it. So. She wasn't retarded. Like, she was able to figure it out. Fucking Alicia Fox ground it and made a burger with it. And dumped, like, half a container of red pepper in it. Which is apparently terrible. And then I watched the Gallows and Anderson Botchamania.
Ooh, how's that?
Which is, it's too short. Like, they're funny. They're the best thing on it, because they're very funny. But they cut it into, like, all these segments, so you don't actually see that much. The funniest was they show Gallo's Tough Enough tryout, and at one point, like, he was just wearing normal shorts, and they fell down, and they wouldn't let him put them back on. So he's fucking naked from the waist down.
Nice.
And like Al Snow's yelling at him and he just finishes the fucking obstacle course and he's running the ropes and he fucks up and like almost falls through the ropes. And Anderson's making fun of him. He's like, how old are you when you did this? And Gallows is like, I was 20.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it had its moments though. Titus O'Neil claimed that the reason he slid under the ring was because he was looking for Hornswoggle.
Hmm.
And Gallows and Anderson said they were there and they did a gimmick. It was actually kind of funny where, so they cut him sliding under the ring and then they cut to Gallows, Anderson, and Apollo Crews who are also under the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, hey, you guys seen Hornswoggle? And they're like, no, he's not under here. All right, I'm going to go win this Rumble then. But the funniest is Apollo Crews is there, and he's, like, on their backs under the ring, and he's just smiling and nodding his head. It was the fucking weirdest thing. But, yeah, it was entertaining, but it was short. It was, like, 15, 20 minutes long.
So what you're telling me is that Matthew has nothing to worry about.
No, it's a different kind. It's funny, but it's different. Okay, I'm picking Books of Magic number 3.
Okay.
Flash 61. Heroes in Crisis number 4. I'm reading every issue of this, hoping that they're going to reveal Wally's not dead.
I hope so.
Because
for some reason why that publisher, DC, has something against Wally.
They do, after all that push.
And the fact that Barry's still the Flash for some reason.
Well, I am reading Flash, so I still.
But he's not as over as Wally.
There's a second printing of Middle West, by the way, so that's a good sign.
Good for Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty doesn't know.
Walking Dead 187.
How good his book is.
You got a lot left in the tank.
Oh, and so is the gimmick now that we're just picking good wrestling themes now?
Sort of. We're moving that way.
Okay. I hope we do because I feel like there's a lot more left in the tank with that gimmick. We run sort of dry on bad wrestling songs.
We could just keep picking TNA songs, but because they're all bad.
Most of them are bad.
Well, the vast majority. Conan the Barbarian, number 1.
Oh, yes. You screw up the gimmick.
It has 15 covers. They're pushing it hard.
We should have did the gimmick where we pick out all the books except Conan.
And then, oh, we forgot to talk about Conan.
You know we're going to do that next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're like, okay, let's talk next week's books. Oh, my God, we forgot to talk about Conan. Nobody gets that. It's a gimmick from, what was it, the Wrestling Observer Radio.
I didn't even get it. You told me about it.
Oh, because when Dave Meltzer used to have a radio show on, I forget the name of the, Asada, right? No. What was the name of that network that used to be on? Okay, in other words, Dave Meltzer used to host...
IATA,
there we go. Used to host the Wrestling Observer Radio, and they were obviously running down the week's stories, and they almost forgot to talk about Conan, and that became the meme.
I'm still looking for books.
What the hell is this Marvel Fantastic Four number 1? Oh, God, by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby? No, we're not reading this.
Reprint.
Yeah, we're not reading that.
Do we want to read Star Wars Age of Republic Obi-Wan Kenobi number 1?
I kind of want to read it because it's by Jody Houser.
Sure, let's read that.
Okay, because remember we liked Faith?
Yeah, well, I'm running out of books. Uncanny X-Men number 8.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wolverine The Long Night adaptation.
Yeah, let me read who's the creative on
adaptation
this.
Of what?
Following a strange and mysterious death in Burns, Alaska, Special Agent Sally Pierce and Ted Marshall arrive to investigate. They soon find that there's more
Marvel's
going on.
Marvel's hit scripted podcast?
I want to check
based on a podcast? No, I'm not reading
that. Are you sure?
That sounds odd.
I'm not going to fight you. Oh, nothing from Batman. Oh no, it's just the cover. I was like, it's your boy Raphael Albuquerque, but it's just the artist. I mean, the cover.
No, the cover is very good, but yeah. It's just
a cover. Champions number one.
No, did you read it? Like it's written by Jim Zub.
I forget. Do we hate Jim Zub?
He's not very good, and this is the spinoff of the Mark Waid one. So they went from Mark Waid to Jim Zub.
I find Jim Zub to be less toxic as Mark Waid.
Well,
that's the word I want to use. Read this.
It's rated T+ though.
All right, and let me ask you right now before we wrap this bad boy up. Do you want me to read Sandman? Because remember, I managed to wiggle my way out of reading Seasons of Mist. Did you want me to try to read it for next week?
Yes, because I'd like to read it again.
Because we have a total of 7 books.
Yeah, let's read it.
All right. So I can get a head start before Wednesday that book comes out, and then I could just read.
Woo! And I'm going to go watch All Aboard the Lex Express issue of OSW Reviews now.
Yeah, that only took you forever.
Well, I didn't know it came out. I explained this to you. It was their fault.
It's your fault.
Bad advertising.
That must be it. All right, so let's wrap this bad boy out. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next week. Adios.